Welcome back to my podcast, Little Mind Chats. Minds are little, not our thoughts. I'm your host, Siona Vikram. There are many ways of learning about sustainability and protecting our environment. There's nothing like learning it from your school and teachers in the presence of your friends. Did you know a school is a direct reflection of the person heading it? I did some research about the most sustainable school here in Bengaluru, and that's when I discovered this amazing The Green School Bengaluru. The school has received the Education World Ranking Award under the Top 10 Environmentally Friendly Schools for 2020. I'm proud and humbled to let you know that we have here today with us Mrs. Usha Iyer, the Managing Director of the school. Thank you for agreeing to be on my podcast, Mrs. Usha.
Thank you very much, Siona. It's always a pleasure to give this interview. And when you told me this, I was so excited because the Little Mind Chat itself is very interesting what you run a podcast. And especially the Q Drive, which you're doing, inspiring to the younger generations and to us.
Thank you so much for your compliment, and you're welcome. Coming to the first question, which is, why do you think sustainability is an important topic for children to learn?
I always dreamt green and rather always wanted to do something for the future generation. And sustainability is always playing in my mind after I saw a lot of institutions abroad. We're talking about SDG goals is now, but we're talking about the green concept in the green school. It's been existing in a lot of international schools. And when I saw the schools in Bali, Indonesia, I realized that the sustainability could be taken to a different level. So I thought that best way to teach sustainability and talking about SDG only when you put them into the situation, put them in the real life situation. So to teach them all about parallel fuels, you need to have a schools as such wherein they learn all about the parallel fuels. And if they have to be really sustainable, they need to know what sustainability is all about, whether it's materials, what goes into building the institution and stuff like this. So my children exactly knows what are sustainable products and what a sustainable way of living. And they also know about sustainable, the parallel fuels, which could be used instead of the fuels. So these are things could be taught only when they are studying in such an institution. And it's a privilege for these kids to study in an institution like this, because where we put in a lot of efforts, the children are working on the SDG goals.
Yes, I think that is a very important topic for us children to learn at this age, because SDGs is going to be like the rule of the future. And if we don't learn it now, then there will be no other time we can. So what got you started with the journey on sustainability?
That's a very interesting question, which you talked about, like how I started this whole journey of sustainability. It way back in 2016 or 17, I was thinking like, I don't want to do an infrastructure which is going to be like a concrete jungle and it's going to be amidst nature. So I was searching for a place like this, which is away from the humdrum of the city life and pollution and stuff like that. So when I found this village, it attracted me a lot because there was a lot of coconut trees and there was absolutely a barren land. There was not much of trees. And my whole concept was growing trees. But when I found it was a fertile ground, I knew anything and everything will grow on that. So for me, sustainability is just not growing trees, but it's beyond that. But I knew that I could create a kind of institution which could be a talk of the town, because tomorrow we have to leave a kind of carbon footprint for our children or the future generation, where they will learn that how they can be people who can protect our planet and they can take this forward, this green concept. Because today, if you're fighting pandemic, tomorrow it might be underground water. Tomorrow it can be something else, like pure air and stuff like this. So I thought, let me do the school. And yes, sustainability, I thought it was cheaper. And it's not very going to be expensive, the green, but green is not cheap. It is quite expensive. When I entered, then I realized it, but it never deterred me to take a step back because I decided to do it. So I just went ahead to create this. And so far, so good. We've been able to create a sustainable school and wherein my children are working on SDG goals. And we have worked on the gender equity and gender equality. We're also working on the pure air, pure water. Right now, we're working on the pure air. And pure air in the sense like we just don't have to sow trees, but it's also going to be trees which actually generates oxygen. And we know, because I've done a lot of research, I'm also from Dehradun. So Dehradun is a place where we have grown amidst trees and I'm in nature. That's what I've grown in. So actually, I know which plant and which trees generate more oxygen. So I have got a lot of bamboo plants in my school. So I've got a lot of other trees which generates more oxygen. And that's where we are going to do that, because I'm sure about it, after a few years down the line, we're going to fight for oxygen itself. So if you see my school, you'll understand like what the concept is all about.
Yes, I think that will become another reason for war, because all humanity needs is a tiny issue to start a war. And if it's oxygen, then think about the type of war we'll be creating.
Absolutely.
It is quite an interesting fact that you achieved zero carbon emissions in your school, because school, I mean, it has to have at least 1% of carbon emissions. But how did you go net zero?
We have not gone completely net zero, but we are trying to. We have got CNG vehicles so that, you know, these transport vehicles are not using petrol and diesel. That's one thing.
Okay.
Second thing is, to create a zero carbon, we need to emit more oxygen, which you already have done, wherein the carbon levels are low and we are having more of oxygen because of the plants what we have grown in the school. And the third thing is, we're working on the zero carbon uniforms. We had got a few uniforms stitched like that in 2019, which was recyclable, and it was a zero carbon uniforms. And but then, you know, certain materials was not suitable to children. But we're working on this year, and we will achieve that as well. So these uniforms are recyclable.
Okay, that is really interesting, because I never thought about uniforms in particular, because I kind of didn't know uniforms came into the entire picture of a school's overall sustainability.
Yes. We are putting in a lot of carbon panels inside the academic block. And as I was telling you before, that we have gone completely CNG vehicles, and there's no usage of petrol and diesel. And but a lot of trees are emitting oxygen. That way we are trying to lessen the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Apart from that, the building, you know, per se inside, we are trying to put carbon panels so that they suck in the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, not completely, but little bit, so that, you know, the children take in more oxygen.
Okay, that's cool. So you were mentioning something about the building being round.
Yes. Students from the architectural college, they come to my school and they study about this building. And I have taken a lot of effort in this, because I didn't have an architect. I had just a design in mind that I want to make the building circular. I had some contractors, so I threw the idea across, and I had a designer as well who could understand my concept. And they said, why do you want to do this? Because you're wasting spaces. I said, it's not a question of wasting spaces and creating space in between, but I want to have natural lighting in between. So natural sunlight comes inside my blocks, and there is an empty hollow space inside my round blocks, whether it's academic or the admin. So the children are getting natural light, one. And second, because I believe that academic institutions are seat of energy, because we are imparting learning, we're imparting teaching. And when it's an L-shaped building, the teaching and learning, it just, you know, when we do yoga, we do this mudra in the yoga, because we want the energies to stay. But thing is that when you are not closing that, you know, that loop, and you're just leaving it open, then what happens, that you are letting the energy flow out. So here we believe that energy stays when your energy is created. Children are learning. There's a lot of teaching, learning, and activities happening. And so this positive energy stays in the campus. And that's one of the reasons, even the stones, what is used in my school, where there's a front stone which is used, the entire front wall, it's built in a very expensive stone, it is, but it emits positive energy. And people have asked me, why you spend so much of money and doing this, but I did that because I wanted them to get positive energy. Same stone which you used to make Ganesha idol in the temple, it's the same stone it is. So we don't mind doing this, as far as, you know, it gives a good vibes in the school. So that's what it is.
Also, it sounds like there's been a lot of thought process and hard work going into this amazing school.
Absolutely.
So you are an expert at sustainability through education. For all the other schools out there who are thinking about going sustainable, what would be your advice to them?
For me, education has always been passion of mine. Education has never been business for me. Now, when you see that a lot of business institutes have come, yes, you need to make money to sustain. But people always think on the business view and saying, okay, if I do this and I have so many rooms, so many children will come. So for me, it's never been like that. It's always been passion. So people have told me that I wasted spaces, as I told you. But my whole idea was to do a farm inside the school. So, and the children are having an eco farm where they actually grow their own vegetables. So my whole idea was that. So my idea was not like making an infrastructure there where the farm is going to come up. But how many of them will be willing to spend saying it's okay to have only 1,000 children in the long run? People are looking at sustainability in that way also. If I have 3,000 kids, so I'm going to make huge profits. So profits against passion.
Yes, because in the UNSDGs, there's these divisions, like the 5 P's, and there's people and profit. So what you're choosing is people over profit.
Absolutely. You're very smart for your age. Very impressed. Yes, thanks. Because you understand what I'm talking about. But there is an award which is lying just behind me. There's an Arctic Award, which I got for being the best sustainable school in the whole of India. At Delhi. So I was very, I went there to receive this award. It's made out of a 200-year-old wood. So, and I was thinking, it's a very good idea to make an award like this because they didn't cut the tree. It was a tree which is already fallen. If you come to my school, you'll understand, even my furniture is not, it's made out of wood, but it's not made of the wood by cutting down the trees. The idea is not that. The idea is, can we make the furniture with the wood, which is fallen wood, waste wood, and that is where my furniture is made of. So we are trying to tell people on one hand, grow more trees. On the other hand, when using wooden furnitures, so what is the main concept of it? You're cutting down trees and making wooden furnitures, but we didn't do that. I know even my furnitures are very expensive because it's made out of like where the waste wood gets frozen in the river in Canada. And it's a Canadian maple wood with which the furniture is made of. So I'm telling you, for each and everything, there's a concept behind it because we have to teach the future generation how to save things. They don't even know how to save fuels. They don't know how to save money. They don't know economic management, financial management. We're teaching everything here. And that is one of the reasons the eco farm has come up, because the children have to work in the farm and then they will know that sustainability doesn't mean only that growing for yourself, but also when you sell, it becomes financial economics. It's like that. So unless until you work in that and then you are like you are in a real life situation, you'll not know how to do it. So there's a lot of thing which goes in this apart from that is a huge, big, beautiful curriculum, which is a green curriculum, which we run. So that is how the whole concept of the school is.
Oh, so what about the paper consumption and the pens and all of that and the stationery which the children use?
It's all recycled because we do give them, but everything is recycled. And we say the newspapers, we bring it from the house. You bring it from the house and we recycle it and we make paper mache. And with that, they teach them sundials and they teach them. Everything is learning by doing in my school. Nothing is like taught. The concept is never taught straight from the textbooks. So it's a lot of hard work. So naturally, they require a lot of stationery, but stationery could always be created. So they create from natural materials. So you can see that my children make scrapbooks also in the natural materials from twigs and stones. And it's because it's a Reggio school. It's a Reggio concept in the kindergarten. So Reggio says back to nature. So naturally, they have to use natural materials. So sometimes they use only the seeds, which is fallen from the tamarind tree. They are used for learning counters. So we are trying to be as sustainable as possible in every way. And eggshells, which is again recycled eggshells. That one which is used as learning counters with tamarind seeds, you know, which could be used that way. So everything my teachers create. Yeah. This kind of teaching aids the teachers create themselves.
So there are a lot of parents in your school, but there are also a lot of parents who are not part of your school. So I would like to ask, what is the role of parents in taking this trend seriously?
Parents who are with me, they're very happy and they are supportive. They know during pandemic also we're trying to create activities for them and which was very difficult because ours is learning by doing school. It's more of activity-based school. So when I said it's a green school, it's a green curriculum and they make manure and stuff like this, which was not possible during pandemic. But still, when we sent the kids, the parents were ready to accept it that they have to do along with the kids at home. It was a lot of work for them. Then they understood that what is the kind of efforts my teachers are putting in the school. So teachers, the parents are this stakeholder. I'm very happy there's a parent stakeholder because they're really supportive. But when it comes to the parents and they're saying that, the kind of the whole thing is being standardized and the whole being structured. Some of them feel it's a very progressive school and they want a typical question answers to be written and notes to be given and stuff like this. They still don't understand that we don't believe in all that stuff. We believe in children doing learning through mind mapping, learning through real-life situation and writing the observation themselves. We, motivate them to do things themselves. So it's very difficult for the new parents to understand, oh, this kind of school also exists. That's a progressive school. Do you do much of handwriting? Yes, we do. Do you do much of math and this thing? I said, the children are doing math, even a higher level math than the other schools. But we don't do the typical way, the way that's rote memorization way. We don't do that in our school. So this is where, it's a quite of a challenge. When they say that, oh my God, are they going to make their hands dirty if they're going to make organic manure? So there's a lot of questions which has been put up to us from new parents. But when they see, we show them the pictures and they feel very proud. They've grown mooli, they've grown palak, they've grown things and they've taken it home. The parents saying, okay, children are enjoying, so it's fine with them. But there are parents who don't want this kind of education. They don't come to us. But many of them start comparing, are you Rishi Valley type? Are you this type? I said, I'm not any type. We're just our own type. It's like that. So they understand. Slowly and steadily understand that this is how they are and they want to do recycle, reject. This is how they do that. Even their flooring materials, the backside, the children are actually figuring it out because we leave the projects to children. Because it's not in a project which they make in the classroom. We are put a bunch of children to think about it and saying, we've got a courtyard now at the back. We're going to put a jungle gym there. Now think about the flooring which will come up there, which could be made out of the recycled material. It's like that. So children are saying, why can't we recycle bottles? We can recycle rubber. We can recycle this and we can put that kind of flooring there. So they're coming up with things like this. So leave the things to children, what kind of spaces they will love to have and what kind of flooring they can contribute to. So children are thinking. And so that is what we want to know, what we want to do. We want them to think. And this is where it's missing in schools. We don't allow children to think.
I think all of India should be covered with schools like yours.
That's great. I wish it is. We are the change makers for sure. And we are creating a change. We have something called Social Impact Project, which my school does. And they go out and actually talk to community and they try to do community outreach programs. But still, I'm telling you, it's like just a drop in the ocean. Not many of them understand what you want to make change for and why they want to make this change for. And so I think it doesn't matter. They're taking baby steps. Slowly and steadily, we can make the change happen. And many schools will come forward and say, yes, we are trying to partner with you in this.
Yes, definitely. And wish you all the luck. Finally, do you have any advice for kids?
Yes, I have a lot of advice because I like what you are doing, Sayona. You yourself are a big inspiration for the generation to come and the younger generation. You are trying to fight against plastic toys. So that is very important because here also, if you come to my school, if you see my playground, it's made out of non-toxic grass. So I think we need to, yes, it's not plastic. It's a non-toxic grass, which is a different kind of material, which is made, it's made of. And it's important to make that awareness in children and saying it's just not growing trees. It is just not like one person make the change in their lives, whether it is going to be not buying new clothes and using the same clothes and recycling it and making it look new, of course. But of course, we need to think about as less as possible, this waste should go into landfills. And that is what this generation have to think about it. Can we recycle papers? Can we recycle the cloth? Can we recycle things so that, we can make this planet a better place to live? This is my advice. And sincerely, I'm very impressed with your work, Sayona. And that's one of the reasons I immediately accepted you as my friend in LinkedIn. I said, we should encourage more children like you to do better things. And we always support the cause, what you stand for.
Thank you, ma'am. That was one meaningful interview and pretty useful for kids as well. Thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast today and role modeling to lots of other institutions, kids and parents on how to go carbon neutral.
Thank you so much, Saina. It's been a pleasure. And I really admire your mom as well, Geeta, who has always also been an inspiration to you in your life. And she's done a lot of things for you. And all the best. And I really want all the children and all the adults who are listening to us, you must and support Saina Vikram. So signing off. Thank you so much, Saina.
Thank you, ma'am. Learning in 20 minutes. This interview proves we can learn by speaking to great minds like Mrs. Usha Iyer. It's inspiring that she stood her ground and made sure the school is built sustainably to begin with, designed for a complete learning experience, teaching, and of course, ensuring the least amount of carbon emissions a school could possibly emit all through its functioning. There's a lot we could take away from this conversation. Meet you with another amazing personality to learn from in the next episode. Thanks a ton for listening. Bye!